Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
And instead of, like, buying the tickets directly, you had to buy calculators because they were doing, like, a partnership cooperation mm-hmm. with, like, a calculator brand. And so it's, like, the amount of calculators you bought was, like, their ticket. Hi, welcome to Alex Cast, the Love Cast, the podcast subsidiary. Welcome to a BL podcast.
Yes.
Thanks, guys, I don't think it's going to get better.
And you know what? It was perfect. So, as you could see by that intro from the lovely Alex, today is a bit of a special episode of Love Cast, because Alex is going to be co-hosting with us today. And if you're wondering why, as many of you know, we went to Thailand last summer, and part of us getting to Thailand was doing a Kickstarter, which a lot of you helped us support, donated to, boosted for us, which we appreciate all of you immensely. And Alex was one of the people that donated to our Kickstarter and helped us get to Thailand. And the tier that they donated at, the perk that came with that tier was co-hosting an episode of Lovecast. And here we are, finally doing it in February of 2024. So it's been a long time coming for Alex, and they're finally here. This episode was one that they helped us plan. We all sat down together and planned, and they decided what they wanted it to be, what we were going to talk about. What we kind of landed on is we're going to talk about Alex, who has done a lot of traveling for BL fan meets in countries all over the world, honestly, is kind of going to share some of their wisdom with us, some of their experiences that they've had, and kind of have a little bit of fun talking through some of their stories, meeting BL actors, and through that we're hopefully going to gather some tips that the audience can use if they are planning or want to plan in the future to travel abroad for BL experiences. So yeah, it's going to be a fun episode. I'm really excited to hear a lot more of the stories because we've got a preview and they sound like a lot of fun. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you all so much for having me. My name's Alex. I use they, them pronouns. I have been a long-time Lovecast lurker and occasional instigator and shit talker in the comments. So it's nice to be able to like have a back and forth live and not just, you know, me talking to myself at the chat.
No, we love seeing your comments in your comments in the comments. That makes sense. We yeah, love seeing your thoughts in the comments. Yeah, and now we get to like talk to you face to face, screen to face.
Screen to screen.
Screen to screen. Screen to screen.
Virtually.
Yeah, virtually. We get to talk to you virtually, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have a lot that we want to ask you about today. So I feel like we should just start at the very beginning before, like, you even get to the point of going to all these BL events, because I'm so curious about just, like, the whole process of traveling there and, like, getting ready and buying tickets, everything like that. So wherever you want to start with just, like, explaining how you even, like, get into these events, I'm really curious about.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And I don't think I quite covered that one in our chat before. I wasn't ever intending to go to Asia for anything. I mean, you know, sure, like the way person like, I'll travel, I'll go everywhere I want to go. You know, you have your wish list. But I wasn't necessarily like, I didn't have like BL trips in my radar. But so my first BL that I watched was Game Boys, and it ruined my life. And has been ruining my life for 3 years now. And after I watched it for the first time, I then immediately rewatched it. And then after my second time watching it, I was like, okay, I have to like see what other people are talking about this. So I went to Tumblr, then I went to Twitter. And around this time, just for like where we are in the calendar, is like 2021. So there was a lot of just chatter about Game Boys that I just like fell into, discovered. And then I came across this tweet. One of the fan clubs in the Philippines was doing like a charity raffle. And I was just like, I'm just so excited to have like people to talk about this with. Sure, I'll help support this charity thing. And I won. I won a hat from Pohoy. And when they sent me the email telling me that I won, they were also just like, hey, we didn't realize that you were in America. So do you still want this, or would you rather just like donate it to a local fan? And I said, politely declined. I want my hat.
I'm getting that hat.
I did. And then they ghosted me. So I was like, I want this hat. Like, you told me I want this hat, and then you're not going to give me the hat. And I was like, listen, I will like prepay for shipping. I'll reimburse you for the shipping. Like, I absolutely understand that international shipping, because I've now done it, it is not cheap. So I was like, listen, I'll help y'all, just let me know how. But they ghosted me. So it just got to a point where I was just like, I want my hat. And so I think I just have to like go over to and just try to get this hat in person. So I just waited for a little bit, and like at the time I was like, is that too crazy to literally travel across the world just for a hat that you wanted a Twitter raffle? And I was like, I want to do it, but I don't know, I just need like a little bit extra like push for it. And so then around this time, so Game Boys was my first BL. The second BL that I ever watched was I Told Sunset About You. And then it came to be just like at a point in time where Bilkin and PP were doing like fan meets. And then I was like, okay, that's perfect. I could go to Thailand and try to go to like one of these BKPP fan meets, and then go to Manila and just hope for the best. So that was my first BL trip. Was I sort of got a ticket to a BKPP fan meet, and then I was just gonna go to Manila and just like hit up all their emails and get it to be like, I'm here. Like,
give me my hat.
Yeah.
Like a date, a time, and a bench, and I'll just walk by and pick it up. Like, I want it, so just give it to me. So yeah, that's how my first trip came to be. And then after that, it was just once I got into it, it was so fun. I got to meet so many of like my online friends at that point, now IRL friends. And then, so yeah, it was just like easier to go subsequent times.
Question. Did you get the hat?
I did get the hat.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I got a different hat.
What? False advertising.
I know. And so like, okay, can I just tell you the full story?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, so the hat that I won from the email from the fan club, it was the hat that Gav wears during his and Kai's like virtual date where they're doing like all the different Zoom backgrounds. Mm. He has this like yellow fisherman wide brim hat, and that's the one that they told me I won. So for months, I'm like, I force my friends to watch Game Boys with me. I'm like, that's my hat. Like, that's my hat. That's the only one who will give it to me. And so then I finally end up in Manila. I am emailing them. I'm like, hi, I'm here. I could be here for 30 days without a visa. So I'm here for the next month. Please just let me know I get this hat. I'm emailing the Idea First company too, because I'm just like, please help me. Like, I know this isn't like y'all's job necessarily, but maybe you could like point me to a better direction. So I eventually end up getting back in contact with them, and they send a courier through Grab. I go pick it up. I look at, as soon as I see what the courier has, I'm like, that's not the right hat. Like, it's just too small. Yeah. And so I'm just like, they really hate me. I'm like, they just want me out of their inbox, out of their country. Aww. They do not want me here. So they just like found some chat or just like, just send it to them and leave, like get them out of our inbox. So I get this hat and I'm just like, this is like, it's a clearly a different hat. So I'm trying to like, I'm like, okay, was it in the series? I'm just not remembering it. So then I'm just like going to my Airbnb. I'm like going scene by scene through Game Boys. I'm just like, where is this hat? Where is this hat? Gal wears a lot of hats. It's a pink hat, so it's not immediately registering to me. And I'm just like, yeah, they hate me. Like, this is just some just hat they just found. And I get to about the last couple of episodes of Game Boy Season 1, and then I just start, like, tearing up. And I'm like, where are these emotions coming from? And then it hits me. I'm like, this is the hat that Gav wears in Game Boys the movie when he and Kai are.
Yes!
It's that hat. Hold on.
Yes!
Hold on. It's real heavy.
They're like, I gotta grab it.
Oh my god. I instantly knew what you're talking about.
Okay, so you would have been better than me because you would have known immediately when you saw this. But I was just like, this is just a pink hat. I'm like, this isn't.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
And so I then go to my phone because I have like the goodbye scene as like a clip that I've just watched. And I'm like, oh my God, it's that hat. So now I'm just like full on crying. And then I remember that it actually is in Season 1. It's at the end where he and Kai are like kind of breaking up. And then Gav goes to Kai's condo. They have the conversation outside Kai's apartment. So it's like that. So this hat is in Game Boy Season 1, Game Boys the Movie, and Game Boy Season 2. So it's not the hat that they told me I would, but it ended up being the better hat.
I was going to say. Yes. In the end, you got the better hat.
Yes. And then the fan club like sent a picture of me. I put it in the box. They sent the pictures of me with this to Kohoi. And Kohoi was like, congratulations. So happy that you got it. So yeah, that's the like, this was like a year in the making of me being told that I won this in a Twitter raffle. To me, going to Manila and just being like, please, just like, let me know.
Oh,
so that's how it all started. That is how all these international trips started, because I was told that I want a hat, and then I went to Manila and got a different hat.
That's so that funny.
But it's the superior hat.
It is the superior hat, yes.
Yeah.
I love the dedication. Honestly,
yeah, that is a word for me. Dedicated.
Listen, I support it. I'm so
sorry. I'm literally just like, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Apologies. I was literally not on this page. I couldn't see. All good. I was literally just going to say, I'm clicking through the photos, and it's absolutely adorable that you have a photo of you in front of the scene of him wearing the hat. That's so cute. Sorry. I'll stay on this screen so I can actually see people talking now. Apologies.
No, you're good. I was going to say, because I feel like, you know, the first time you're planning to travel for BL and to get your hat, I feel like since then, since you've done a bunch of different trips, you've probably learned a lot of, like, tips and things to consider when planning trips and stuff like that, and probably learned a lot from your experiences from the first time compared to the most recent time. So can like you share some of like your travel prep tips and kind of the stuff you do before you're getting on the plane to make sure like your trip is gonna be what you want it to be, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. Like for travel prep tips, it usually is just like having hopefully one or two things that I know I want to do, that hopefully I can secure tickets for before I buy my plane tickets. And that's kind of one of the challenges when I think it comes to like BL fan meets, is that sometimes events are announced like with very short turnaround. So if it works, it works. But then sometimes it's just like, man, I would have loved to gone, but like, I did not know this was going to be happening like next week. And like, now I like can't go. So much of these trips have just been like, I pick like one thing that I like the most and just try to like fill my calendar with like other things as well. Cause it there's kind of like a seasonality to it where like folks are doing like a lot of fan meets and travel and stuff like that, for like the actors and stuff. And so it usually does work out that, if you are an international fan and you get over there, there's like a good, plus or minus, to, 1 week of activities from like what you had gone there for. But yeah, that's been like the biggest challenge at times, is just being like, I would love to go, but I would want to do things, but I just don't know like what's happening. And there isn't like a central calendar or Eventbrite listing for all these things. It's kind of just like, sometimes they get announced on like the studio channels or the actor channels or the fan club channels. So the prep is just hoping that something comes across your radar in time to plan it. But it really is just trying to be, if you do want to go, try to follow as many of these sources as you can, from like the studios, the managers, if the managers post, the actors themselves, and like fan clubs. Cause like that's, sometimes I've only heard about events because like the fan club posted it. And then like the actor, the studios just like didn't post until like the day before, where it's like, hey, see you all tomorrow. And it's like, how? Like, help me help you. Like, help me see you. Like,
help me promote. Like, I'm trying to promote.
Yeah, like promote. Yeah. Yeah, just different actors, different managements, different studios. Like, they just have different cadences or thoughts about like promotion and heads up. But yeah, the travel prep has just really just been trying to like figure out like the path that you're going to take, especially if you're going to be like country hopping, because then it's like you have to like potentially get a visa approved and things like that. And so like there was an opportunity that I could have gone to, I could have gone to Gunn's first solo fan meet in China, but I would have needed a visa for it, as with my American passport. Right. And I needed it to be announced like 1 week earlier so I could have applied and gotten it. But just from like the time that they announced it to the time of it happening, I could not get a visa in time to go. So kind of bummed. I was really bummed, especially because like I had like a fun trajectory with like Gunn and the other Beluga folks. But yeah, it's just like if things don't get announced ahead of time for you, it does sometimes make it really hard to coordinate and figure things out.
How's the experience buying tickets for the fan meets? If like, because you've got to buy, I guess, buy the tickets before you purchase your like your flights, or at least have one event that you're 100%, like you're saying, plan everything else around. So what's it like buying tickets for these events in another country?
So this is the profanity section of the interview. Fucking difficult at times, as the French would say. But yeah, it's it really is just like a toss up, because there's also, I think, like there's different scales of events, because there's like the Beluga concerts and big things like that that are like at like a stadium or something. Something like that, that's going to be like through a ticketing site, usually Thai Ticket Major. And I've been like on the phone with my bank so many times with them, like, please, like, whitelist this site. Like, it is me buying these tickets. Like, the 1 hour delay of me trying to like get my cards unlocked to rebuy the ticket, I'm in a whole other section because they're all gone. The ticketing buying is absolutely a grab bag. It is, it's like, it's so bad. It makes me love, like, why can't we have like more laws and more regulations? And that is like completely not why I'm the person, but, it ends up
when it comes to ticket buying. Yes.
Yes. Because like in y'all's cast episode where Pixie was saying that like, you can't, sell tickets. You can't resell for more than value. I was like, please make that a global law. Like, I know there's other that we should figure out as a global community, but I was like, we could just throw that one in. That's pretty low stakes.
It doesn't make any sense to me that isn't like a common thing everywhere. Like, why?
I have no idea. I mean, it's been like I've gotten absolutely fleeced by people trying to get tickets for things, especially if like the artist or the show's like really, really popular. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, well, I'm either going to buy this like outrageously marked up ticket or not go, or just keep trying to find someone who hopefully can cut you a better deal. But it's like, if you do have someone right there and they're just like, I do have the tickets, you can see it, I'm just going to charge you 2-3 times as much. So it's just like, for peace of mind, you just buy it and just go. But that tends to be for like the higher end of things. So like, again, things like concerts, things like that. The more casual events that are usually like at like a smaller venue, like a cafe or a smaller theater, or just like a mall space, those usually are easier to get directly. Where it's like, you're just, I was like, if you have to buy your tickets through a Google form, I am so much happier than if you have to buy a ticket through Ticketmaster. I was like, let me just sign up, submit it. Yeah. I see it submitted, and I'll just wait for y'all to get back to me, and I'll, you know, we can work it out that way. So yeah, it really, I think it, the biggest factor is like how big the event is going to talk about like how difficult it is to get that ticket. Most of the like online like ticketing sites, so Ticketmaster, KTix, that's the one that they use in Taiwan. The Philippines, they have their own ticketing server. And there's like the Philippine one, like they only take Filipino cards. Like even my American Wise card, which is an international card, they're like, no, you're still an American. I was like, please let me pay you. Just please. So the ticketing buying, hopefully that is something too, where usually the event, the organizers, they do announce like when the tickets go on sale early, like about maybe like a week or so ahead of time. So hopefully it's something that you can like try to like sign up for, register, like if it's like an online registration thing, like don't wait to do that like on the day of, and then just hopefully your ticket works. If not, you will be like me searching through Twitter, seeing like who's selling tickets.
Yeah. I just want to say, you mentioned Ticketmaster. I have personal beef with them because when they did, personal to me, when they did the My School President live shows, I tried so many fucking times to get one of the live stream tickets for that concert. And like, I called my bank so many times. They're like, it's not flagging as like a suspicious charge. Like, but I tried like multiple different cards. It just like would not go through. I emailed their support. They never got back to me. And I was like so fucking excited about that live show. And then I could just never get a ticket. So ever since then, like I have like their emails because I have bought stuff through them in the past. And every time I see Ticketmaster, I just like, there's a little seedling of like anger in my heart that stems from not being able to watch that concert.
No, that's trauma. No, I had that issue and that worked out. And that was like my first couple experiences with it. But when it did come to the My School President in particular, by that point, I had like yelled at like my bank. I yelled at like the Visa like company, like because they're like sometimes two different numbers. And I was like, whitelist this site, like whitelist it. I will be buying things from there. So I was able to get that live stream ticket. That's how I got the video call with Mark for Gemini. So it was like one of the live ticket raffle chances. But yeah, it's like Ticketmaster like hated me for like the first like six months to a year of like my life as a BL
to buy
fan.
Tickets.
He's even trying to like buy just like the merch and stuff. Because I know like I think it was like the Ken Porsche group, like they put some of their merch through Ticketmaster and stuff like that. And so like in some ways, I was like, hey, it's just like easier to get because it's like this one site. But yeah, like when they are flagging things, when your bank is flagging things, you're like calling, emailing all these different people, trying to like
figure out where it's coming from.
No one's helping. No one knows what to do. No one like cares because it's like, you know, one person's one little order. So yeah, I've absolutely been in that boat for like 6 months to a year of just trying to like figure out like how to more reliably get tickets myself.
Have you ever had to line up like on the day to get into an event without a ticket? So, like, I'm thinking when we were in Thailand, we were lining up to try to get tickets to be in the fan seating section just of an event in in a mall. And then the amount of people lining up for, like, 15 seats was like insane.
That's staggering. Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you've ever had to do something like that.
So, kind of once accidentally. it was like, so most of the things that I've gone to, it's like I have the tickets before like the date. So the only time I need like a ticket on the day of, it was fan day in Osaka. So this was a GMTV event. It was Offgun, Earthmix, and Perf Chimon. So it was like a Saturday, Sunday thing. I had tickets to Offgun and Earthmix for Saturday. And I only had, I just had Earthmix and Offgun tickets for Saturday. But then I had like so much fun. I had like a lot of good moments with Off and Gun. And then I was like, oh, well, they're going to do a show Sunday too, but I don't have a ticket for it. So that way I just like went to the venue on the day of. I was just like, hey, do you have other tickets? And they're like, yeah, we do have some other tickets. So that one I did get. But like I had my ticket for like the day before. So the Sunday one was just like, I'm still here in Osaka. So it's either I go to this or like I go to the ball or something. I did get a ticket like that. That day of the event, but mostly it is just getting them ahead of time just to try to not be in that situation, just being like that. But smart. The fan shows that you're talking about, like the mall shows, where like, because a lot of the Thai actors, they will just kind of announce where they'll do public appearances, and then sometimes they'll have like the fan seating, things like that. Honestly, I just haven't even tried, because I was just like, listen, I know it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I know it's chaotic.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Dedicate like 8+ hours to like a chance to do something, I'll wait.
Yeah.
For
it.
Yeah. No, we were there like because we got advice from Gam, who was interpreted for us, and also she has a lot of experience going to like those type of BL events. So she was kind of giving us tips on like, here's how early you should line up, you know, here's like places you should look out for information. And so like we followed her instructions and were there like at the amount of time beforehand that she recommended. And even still, we were maybe like a little bit after the recommended time. But even if we had gotten there like in that frame, there were still so many people lined up running to different doors.
It was a pun-proven event. And off. Like,
pun-proven and off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
me and Kayla got to see them walk it out. Right past us in our bad spots.
Yeah, I mean,
we could reach out.
Not reach out. No, we were pretty close, considering that I'm inclined to think that fan seating goes automatically to fan sites.
With the cameras, yeah.
Yeah. But I am wondering, like, as an international fan, do you ever have trouble navigating these spaces when you speak English? And maybe, like, your Thai proficiency in, like, speaking and reading isn't as good. Like, do you ever find that you're very confused when you're at an event, or, like, you don't know who to ask about what's going on?
Absolutely. These events sometimes are just like meditations and being dissociated quietly in space for a couple of hours. They're not in English, and it's not like, you know, I'm like asking anyone to like cater to me or anything. There have been like, I think there's like two halves of the question, like just like navigating the event space, trying to figure out like where to go. That one, usually it's manageable. It's manageable because if nothing else, it's like we just end up talking through Google Translate on our phones. Most of the events that I've been to, just like the vast majority of them, someone on staff there has enough working English so we can like figure out, you know, like left, right, go here, go here, go there. Some of the events that I've gone to, as far as like the organization, it's like very clear already, like where you should go, where you should line up for. But it's always nice just like double check to make sure that, you know, that what was listed is what's happening. Because sometimes there are little changes like that. And if you don't speak the native language, you're going to miss out and be in like the wrong space. But it is sometimes challenging. But with the staff there, usually there's someone to help. Sometimes other fans have also just helped me out as well. Because like, if I'm in line with people, I'm just like asking, like, you know, do you have this ticket or things like that? Or sometimes it's like wristbands. I'm like, I just have like these two wristbands, but you have these two and a third one. What's that third one? And things like that. Mm-hmm. So Fans have also like really helped out a lot for like the navigation and kind of smoothing things over and helping out for like where to go, where to line up, things like that. So yeah, it's challenging. I think it is manageable. You know, good attitude, ask questions, you know, don't be afraid to like not be included immediately. You have to like kind of assert yourself a little bit and like use Google Translate to be like, you know, where do I go, help, or have your ticket in hand and stuff like that. Folks have been very helpful with like getting you to the right places. When the events start, that's where the dissociation starts, because it's just like
no translation, like, just vibes.
The first couple of shows that I went to, I did try to use like the, you know, the voice recognition thing, but it goes too fast. There's no there's not enough pauses for the phone to like catch up, translate, things like that. So at that point, just like just sitting here happy, vibes. Just gonna dissociate for like, you know, hour just and a half,
pretty people,
then, yeah.
Just take photos.
Yeah,
cheers, what I did. Cheers.
Oh my god, there was one time I was at a mall show for Count on Turbo, and the show was like just starting. They'd done like their opening song and had gone off stage, so like then the MC was coming out and hosting. So at that point, that's where I pull out my phone and I'm texting one of my best friends back in the States. I'm just like, and now here's the part where Alex just sits in silence for an hour and a half because no one speaks English. As I sit that text, I hear someone going, "Hello, hello, where are you from?" And I'm just like, "Who's speaking English?" And there's the MC talking to me. He's like talking to me directly. And so the MC is bilingual or fluent in English. And so just was talking to me, and I just was not noticing because I just wasn't expecting it. I was like, this never happens. No one ever, like, sometimes at these shows, like, during the, like, outros, the artists will have, like, a thank you to the international fan section, and that'll be something in English. But, like, this was one of the few times where, like, there was, like, actual, like, English woven into the programming. And I just, by that point, I was just like, I was shook because I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it's something that, like, at this point, because BL is expanding so much, and at least for, like, some of the bigger shows like GMMTV that have the capability, they know that there's going to be a large international fan base. So, like, they won't necessarily, like, translate the whole thing in English, but they'll have, like, subtitles on screens for when they're playing, like, videos and stuff like that. So even though you don't get the whole thing, like, they're still, like, catering to like international audiences, I feel like, more than they would have like 5-6 years ago, for sure, for these events if they were happening.
Yeah, the videos, like, they like the filmed things usually do accommodate international fans. There usually is like a shout out to the international fans for like live stream things too. And I think it also depends on like the country as well. Because in Thailand, there's not a need for a translator because you just assume all the audience speaks Thai, or the majority of them. But the Philippines and Brazil, they've both been countries where the program was in either Tagalog or Portuguese, but also English as well, kind of like back and forth. And the events that I've gone to in the Philippines have been some of the easiest, because in the Philippines, there already is just a lot of English spoken conversationally. So there's not as much of a language barrier at all. But in Thailand as well, like in Bangkok, since that's like, you know, the center of it all, also pretty accommodating for English. In other countries, still accommodating. Like, I'm not saying like anyone wasn't as welcoming, but English just wasn't as to the forefront, like in Taiwan or Japan, as it was in Bangkok or Manila. And I think that's just country, like the country, like what they speak in those countries.
Yeah. I guess we can get into talking about some of your favorite fan experiences you've had, what some of your favorite events that you went to have been.
Oh, okay. That is a question that I knew would be asked. I'm like trying to like think of, like, you know, try to like sort out the like highlight reel and whatnot. I would say like the most fun event that I've been to was Beluga in Manila. Because that was like the perfect trifecta of the talent being a lot of fun, being really engaging, the audience being like super hyped, super crazy in a great way. And then also the MC being like super on top of it and like keeping the energy high, but also like controlling it and reining it in, where it's like, okay, people, like we gotta hear the questions, we gotta hear the translation. So just for like this one question. So just like a really well organized event. And Beluka, so that's Ofgun Tainu. They were also just really feeding off of that energy, because I've seen like Beluka a couple of times, but in their fourth concert in Manila and Taipei. And one of my IRL friends, like, who she also goes to a lot of these bail events too, we'll just like talk about like the different crowds, where like that really will be like the X factor for like how much fun the event is. And she described the crowds in Asia as like polite. She was like, yeah, they're very polite crowds. And I'm just like, that tells you a lot about just like kind of like the energy of it. Where it was like, yeah, of course, like people like clap and cheer. But when I went to my first show in Manila, my first show in Manila was Love in the Air. But when I went to Beluka in Manila, the crowd is already like screaming and singing along. There's not even music playing, and they're singing songs just of their own volition. And so by the time like the lights dim and the show does start, is like a full on, just like almost like a rave. Like, it was so fun. The host, she has a lot of great energy, and at times she just like has some like dance breaks just out of nowhere. So then by the time like Ofgun and Tainu come out too, like all that energy, like they're picking up on it.
Everyone's
and so like
hyped.
They're just giving up. They're just like performing with like so much more energy than the other times I've seen them, where they're doing like the same numbers, and they still are, you know, giving it energy. I'm not saying like they're putting it in or anything, but it's just like the energy that they received and gave from Manila was just so much. And it just was just so infectious. My School President Live was also a really great show to be in live. I loved MSP. I was all like, I feel like almost everyone was just like, I watched it and then I was surprised by how good it was. So like, absolutely the same thing with me. Like the show date just kind of like fit in like my travel calendar for things. So I was like, sure, I'll go. I'll give it a good try. This one also was one of the ones where it was like one of my worst ticket stories. It worked out well, but damn, was it annoying, because the person who sold me my ticket would only sell me two tickets. And then they were like, oh, I can help you sell the other one. I was like, no, you sell the other one. It's your ticket already. I just want one. But so I ended up buying two tickets to this event, and then the tickets were even like next to each other. So like, even if I did have someone to go with me, it's like, well, I'm up there, you're over there. See you in like 7 hours when the show's over. But it was just, I mean, the tickets reselling, it is literally the wild, wild west. So anything happens. But going to MSP Live, the show starts and it's like, okay, I know the BL is like a musical, and I assume you all have like some singing ability, but you all have like a lot of singing ability. And it was like, it was so cool to see. And then like MSP Live, like they did like live songs, but then they kind of like worked in some of the plot through kind of like a theater play kind of vibe and stuff. And so like, they're like working through the plot on stage and stuff too. I forget her name. Gun's mom comes out and does her song. And it was so great. Like, she had more skills than almost anybody else. Like, when she came out singing, I was like, oh, that's so cool. But yeah, MSP Live was a lot of fun. And because that person sold me two tickets, that meant I had like two pictures. And so during like the fan meet portion or the goodbye session, I take my first picture and I'm like, hey, I have two. Do I just like sit here and you like snap another picture or like what? They're like, no, go back to the end of the line. I was like, what? I was like, the line is so long. I've been waiting. But it did end up working out in my favor a lot. So because when they saw me again, they knew that I was like the last fan. So then everyone's excited because everyone knows that we could go home after this. And so when they see me again, they're just like, oh, you're back? So we're done? I'm like, yeah, we're done. And so like everyone's
excited.
Like, more like energy and excitement in my second picture than the first picture. But then like other fans saw it too and like asked me about it like months later. They're like, were you the fan that was like at MSP? I was like, yeah, that was. I was like, they were so excited to see you. I was like, yeah, because it was like a like a 10-hour day for me, so like a 14-15-hour day for them. Mm-hmm. So like seeing me meant that like the end was in sight. So yes, that's why they were all excited. Those have been a lot of fun. I've gotten to go to a couple of film screenings in the Philippines where I've been able to meet Elijah. And again, like Game Boys is like my first BL. So like anything Game Boys related is going to be really high on my list. Mm-hmm. But like the first time I met Elijah was just so fun because I wasn't we weren't expecting to be there. I went with one of my friends in the Philippines. She and I went and we were just going to go because like it was his movie screening. And so we're like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to support, of course. But then he ends up like actually showing up. And so we're just like surprised. Like, did you know he's going to be here? And so then afterwards, there's like a Q&A question, a Q&A session. And then we all take like a group picture. And then we're just like there on stage with him like after the picture. It's just like, okay, bye. But like no one's leaving. So we're just like, let's just hang out and talk. So we just like started hanging out and talking. And I told Elijah like I was an international fan. That I'd come up. And then he was like, so wait, you came from America just to see me? And I was like, yes, that is technically true.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Like, have I done other things between leaving America and this day? Sure. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Yes, I've come all this way. Yeah. So we, like, talk and joke, and it's just so, so fun. So many fun little moments that we have. I think those would be, like, my top three. Beluca, Manila, my school president, and me and Elijah as a Elijah.
Yeah.
That's it.
20 minutes later. So yes, that's the answer. Yes.
No, it's so cool to hear, though, because, like, we kind of talked about before, like, Pixie and Kayla got to see, like, Pon Pooing in off in an event, but, like, our trip to Thailand was so different because we were just, like, love cast stuff, that I feel like we didn't really get to do, like, a lot of, like, fan stuff, at least, like, not me and Heather, like, Pixie and Kayla got to do the Pon and Pooing in off. So it's, like, it's so cool to hear about, like, the experience of the actual, like, fan events and, like, what getting there is like, because I feel like, at least for me, like, when we go back to Thailand, I want to be able to do more of that kind of stuff. So, like, your tips mm-hmm. and tricks are gonna be coming in handy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm actually interested in, like, the friendships that you have made by going to these events. Like, have you made lifelong friendships? Do you make, like, a concert buddy sort of friendship? Like, I know I go to a lot of K-pop concerts by myself before I had, like, a couple of IRL friends that I could go with. And I would make little, like, concert buddy friendships that we'd just enjoy the concert together, and then mm-hmm. we'd share some photos afterwards, and sometimes we'd stay in contact, sometimes we wouldn't. So I was wondering if you've kind of, like, made those types of friendships as well, or, like, lifelong friendships.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely to both categories. So before I ever went, I think I was, I would say, no, I know this for sure. So I was a BL fan in this sense for like at least a year, just about a year before I had gone to Asia for the first time. And so I already had like Twitter friends, Tumblr friends that I would talk to about this. Mm-hmm. And then when I had the idea that I'd like go to Asia to get this hat, I was like, one of my friends, she's a big BKPP fan. And so I met her there. She actually helped me because going back to Thai Ticket Major, for the BKPP concert fan meet series, it was like a fan sighting series, but then they swapped the last event to be a concert. And I was going to go to the last fan meet. Mm. But when they swapped it to a concert, it was off the Google form and like onto Thai Ticket Major. And that was one of the things where I was just like, I'm putting in my numbers and or like my credit card number and Thai Ticket Major, card block. All my cards are blocked. By this point, just for like the time, it was like midnight here in the States. So like my bank's not answering, of course, because it's midnight and stuff. And I'm just like watching the ticket count get lower and lower until like sold out. And I was just like, because it's like when it was the fan sighting thing, I had it like secured, but then they mm-hmm. swapped it to a concert and now I don't have a ticket anymore. That got me talking with one of my friends, and then she had an extra ticket. So I met her for the first time. We hung out, went to the show. And then now it's like anytime she's a BKPP fan, but lives in the Philippines. But like every time I go to the Philippines, like we have lunch, we catch up, we trade mm-hmm. stories about shows that we've been to, stuff like that. My Game Boys friends, three of them are in the Philippines, so I go there, see them. One of them I had like hold merch for me, because it was when they were getting ready to do season two, they were doing like a surprise box. But after my hat incident, I literally noticed that all the Game Boy stuff afterwards would like specify Philippine audience only, international mm-hmm. fans. Like after that incident, wow. After all my many emails, they started being a little bit more clear about things. And so by the time before season two and the boxes were coming out, I was like, I see what you're saying. I'm still going to buy these boxes anyway. I'm just not going to don't worry about it. Ask my friend to hold them for me for a couple of months until I can make my way back over there. So yeah, I've been able to meet my internet friends that are now like real IRL friends, lifelong friends. I meet plenty of concert buddies on, like on the day of, but then also like now people are recognizing me and like coming up to me and like, hey, were you the fan like that was at MSP or you were at fan day in Osaka? And I'm like, yes, hi. And so you know, I'll trade Twitter or Instagram with them or whatever, and like have friends with the people that I sit next to. For some of the events like Beluca, they raffle the 4v1 picture, so one fan just with the four artists, mm-hmm. which only sucks because I haven't won. but the one in Manila, both the seats next to me won the one-on-one picture. So when like they announced, so when the ticketing thing, they announced all the seats, And it's like, I'm looking at my section. I'm like, okay, hey, that's my section. Oh, that's my number. It's like, no, I'm the next seat. And I'm like, oh, the next number. I'm like, I'm the seat before. So how am I sandwiched by winners, but I'm the loser of this one picture with them?
I would try.
Yes. I was like, so how is your one-on-one picture? How is your great that you
at all.
I don't know what happened with this seat right here to where it just like hit me literally and went to the next person, but hope you all have fun. So making friends on the day of is usually very, very easy too, because even in some of my like my earliest events, like other fans would like either be interested in me. It's like, I guess I'm like probably wearing like merch or I'm just like in the space. So it's like clearly there's like, and so many fans have been so really good at just being like, hey, are you American? Are you, I was like, yes. the concert buddies, meeting people on the event the day of, the fans on the day of have been so fucking cool. Like that's been another reason why it's been just really easy to keep going back and back is because it's like, usually I just like kind of just show up and just say like whatever happens happens, and the fans help take care of me, staff helps like keep it all organized, and I hopefully always catching the actors like on good days where they're just like happy to see and talk with people.
Yeah, that makes for such a cool experience, I feel like, because it can be intimidating to, I mean, I feel like I am someone who, as like going to concerts and stuff like that, I've been doing that like since I was a teenager, because I was always into groups that like none of my friends loved, so I would just go to things alone and kind of sucked it up, but I feel like especially like when you're in a different country and you don't necessarily speak the language or you can't speak it proficiently, it makes things a little bit more intimidating. So like it's really nice to hear that fandom experiences are very welcoming, and you kind of are able to find people that will guide you, you know, talk with you while you're there, aside from, you know, the time during the show when you're disassociating because you can't understand anything. I feel like it really helps probably ease nerves to know that, like, and I think that's a communal thing with like things like BL and K-pop. When you're at an event, like, I feel like that barrier of kind of you're a stranger is lowered because you're all there for the same reason. So there's like, you automatically have that thing in common that's like, okay, if nothing else, we can talk about who our bias is or what our favorite scene from the show was and stuff like that. So I feel like, but having that internationally as well and knowing that, you know, if you're someone who may be going international to go to a concert or go to an event, like that fandom culture still exists, maybe a little bit differently than you're used to, but it still exists. I feel like that's something that can help nerves or people who might be nervous about going to events abroad alone. I'm sure there's still things that make you nervous, but those little things can help ease that kind of worry that you might have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is one of the parts where like the fans really do a lot of the legwork for it, because I mean, the show itself might just be like an hour and a half. Some of the longer concerts, you know, push into like the 2-3 hour mark, but you could be on site for like 10 plus hours. And so like having good fan friends to hang out with on the day of can absolutely go a long way. Oftentimes for a lot of these events too, like there is like a hashtag for it or something. So it's like you can find and post that you're going. So other fans can meet you or stuff like that. A lot of the fan clubs do, I mean, I obviously like the talent and the studios and stuff, like they organize the events or whatever, but I do think like a lot of like the legwork for like what makes these events run, like sometimes comes from the fan clubs, because they're the ones who like do so much of the heavy lifting for some of the things. But yeah, like fan clubs will be posting like, hey, we'll be like, you know, at this pillar, just handing out goodies or, you know, doing merch trades, things like that. And so it's like, yeah, if there is an event that you want to go to, usually these events like have their own like hashtag, like Beluga Manila, BKPP in Japan or something like that. Like posting the hashtag, looking the hashtag, there'll be people doing like meetups or stuff like that. So it's like, you really can like that barrier that Alexa was talking about, like it is lower, and like people's like generally like there are people whose like arms are reached out, extended. I don't know how to
welcoming.
Phrase that. Welcoming. There you go. That's a better word.
Yeah.
and say so ahead of time. So that way it's like, you already know. And there are just like people in the fandoms who like have that personality, that mindset, and that desire to like help facilitate and welcome people. And yeah, I mean, I've reached out and talked with those people. The fan clubs have often really helped me. The things that I've done in the Philippines with Elijah, those have all been like made through like the fan club. Because it's also different too, where it's like Elijah's like a Filipino actor, and like the Philippines kind of entertainment industry is just like different from like the Thai ones, where there's not like as many like fan meets per se, but there'll be things that Elijah that he wouldn't mind if he came and said hi. It's just like not a fan meet. It's just like maybe like a movie screen or something. But the fan clubs are really instrumental in being like, no, like we want fans here. Yeah. He wants fans here. Like, and they'll help make that happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they kind of can give you the do's and don'ts of like, yeah, this is an event. Cause I think that can be a big barrier with especially international fans, like showing up to things where maybe fans aren't welcome at, like things that are listed as private, but fans find out about them anyways, so they go. Yeah. And I feel like fan clubs and people who are kind of like on the ground can kind of lay the groundwork and be like, yes, this is some place where you're welcome. They won't mind if you come take pictures or watch while they're doing whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. But something like this, not for fans. Please do not show up. And like, obviously people are going to listen or not listen to that. But I think like the fan clubs can kind of be really good in helping understand, like, I don't know if culture is the right word, but I guess kind of culture of like what to go to as a fan that's not necessarily a set fan event and what not to and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because it was like, I remember there was one time it was my first or second trip or something. Mm-hmm. And I was on BL Twitter, and a fan was posting that Max from Maxwell, that he was doing something, or he was like either leaving or entering Thailand because he was at the airport. And the fan was talking about like there was just like low turnout for him or something. And I took offense to the tone because it was like, why are you blaming me for something I didn't know about? If you had told me that this thing was happening, I would have been there. Mm-hmm. And then so I did like I was having a petty moment, so I did respond. I was just like, well, I would have gone if it would have been posted, so tell me where it was posted. And then we're having a conversation on Twitter. And the fan was like, well, we posted on the fan club's like Facebook page or something. I'm like, well, this is Twitter. This is not Facebook. So I'm not there to receive that information. But that's also something for like, it's like, as an international fan, as an American fan, it's like, I wouldn't ever think to like go to an airport to like meet people. But that is like a very big thing that happens there. And so when I was going to Baluka and Manila, some of the fan club people that were helping me were like, yeah, we're all going to go to the airport and just like wait for them. And I was just like, are you? Like, is that like, So I was like, fuck it, whatever. So I'll go. So I went to the airport, which don't know if you've ever been to the Manila airport, but it is, it's a doozy. But I was like, at least I'm just going to be on the outside of it. I'm not like having to go through it. So that should be a little bit better than my other times going through the Manila airport. But yeah, I'm just like sitting there waiting and just like chatting for a little bit, just scrolling on my phone. And then it's so funny. Like, it's just like the energy where someone like gets to there, it's like, they've landed. And so then like the energy is like going everyone's like getting all excited
they're coming,
and stuff.
They're
like
coming,
that.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's such a thing where it's like, definitely like I was like, I mean, I was there, so I'm not going to be like, I wasn't wanting to be there, but like when that happened and when that energy happens, it gets to you. Like, you're just like, happening. It's happening. Like, you get the adrenaline, you feel. And then at one point we were like standing like in one part where normal civilians like exit the airport and get out, but then there's like a separate VIP exit too. So we're at like the civilian exit, and then at one point there's like, they're going through the VIP, and then people were just taking off running. Running across the airport, and I'm just like, I'm just like power walking. I'm just like, this is my life. And then my friend I was with was like, hey, we gotta hurry, because they're like right there. I was like, fuck, okay. So then we're just like
get into it.
Yeah. And literally, it's like, they just walk out of the airport. Like, they're just walking out of the airport.
But you see them.
I did see them. I see them. I had a video. There was one funny moment where like one fan tried to like give them a gift, And so she's trying to, like, go over the security to, like, give them the gift. And they're like, no.
It's like the security.
It's like, for me, I'm just like, this is, like, so, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, paparazzi TMZ stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
exactly.
I don't want to be a part of this, but I just feel like this would be annoying for them. Like, they just flew, and they're just trying to, like, get to their van to get to their hotel. And then here we all are. But it's like, they kind of told when they would land. So it's like, they did kind of, I'm not going to say, like, they made the information public. So it's like, they told the people when they're going to do it, when they could have not done that. And
they knew what to expect, I think.
Yeah. Probably. So it usually is like a thing where it's like someone, I feel like I've not been privy to this information. This is just my guess as the Alex Cast Love Cast subsidiary correspondent. so it's like, yeah, I do think that's usually like someone on the management team, like they're in contact with each other, like at certain points, like they might not talk every day, but like certain people like in the fan club or fan club presidents are like organized and like they talk with like the artist managers and stuff. So it's like, you know, like they're the ones who help like make that line between like, do we want fans to know about this? Do we not want fans to know about this? There's like watching this, I'm just like, I see two people not making eye contact with everybody that's around them. And I see two people who are at least going like, hello, bye. Yeah. So I even did like an airport thing too, with like the fan clubs. And again, it's like one of those things where it's like the fan clubs do say, you know, should we all be here? What happens? What artists like to hang out after events and take pictures? That's how I got so many like good pictures with like Count on Turbo, is because of their fan club. Because they were just like, hey, and like I helped support their fan club. I helped support like a lot of their drives and stuff. But they'll be like, yeah, the event's going to happen at this, and they have to like go back and do like, you know, press stuff and whatever, whatever. But then they'll usually just like come out and just like hang out for a little bit before they go. So I'm just like, cool, I'll wait. Yeah, perfect. So yeah, a big tip for me, if you're an international fan, and you're interested in these like artists, is like try to support the artists when you're not there. So like try to support like the fan clubs, if they do like birthday events, charity drives, they like when they seek donations to like help make like a bigger merit, stuff like that. Because that, like, those are the kind of the people that end up helping you know where to go and like how to get to where you want to be. So help them already, like, you know, like make yourself known to them, be a friend and like active with the fan clubs and stuff. So you're not just that person who's like, hello, you've never met me before, but please tell me, you know, how am I going to find you in? Like, you know, tell me, like, help me, you know? It's different if you're like already like an active member of like that person's fan community.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't know if this is like following on from this conversation. It just popped into my head and I don't have a segue, but I want to know your, like, your favorite moment with an actor at any of these events that you've had. Like, what has been your favorite one-on-one moment with an actor?
Really good question.
They gotta think.
Yeah, I've gotta think. Okay.
It's like asking to choose your favorite child.
I know, sorry. It like, there was no like connection from what was just being spoken about. So it's very much like a hit you over the head with this question, but I just like, I'm so curious what this would be.
Okay.
Top three? Do you want me to do top three instead of your absolute favorite?
I can do top three.
Okay. Top three.
So one of my favorite moments, I was on, I had gone to, okay, sorry, context for this event. So Count on Turbo, we're doing an event, and instead of like buying the tickets directly, you had to buy calculators because they were doing like a partnership collaboration with like a calculator brand. And so it's like the amount of calculators you bought was like their ticket. So I ended up buying like 10 Casio calculators to get me VIP whatever ticket to go to this event. And this is also just like, I'm like having to find calculators. Like, I'm in Bangkok. I'm like, where do I find calculators? Like, trying to like do like delivery and stuff. I'm like, listen, I'm in a hotel and I'm like leaving tomorrow. Like,
deliver them to people who need them.
But that ended up being part of it. So, like, I'm going through malls, and I eventually find the calculators. And, like, I went to, like, the electronics section, and they weren't there. And I'm like, fuck. But, like, as I'm leaving, I literally am walking through the children's section. And I just like see an out of count on turbo. I'm like, hey. And they're like in the
school. Well, it decides.
So they're in the school supply section. So they weren't like in like the electronics store. Mm. That was like where phone chargers and stuff were. But anyway, so I get these calculators, and then like the staff there is like asking what I need. I'm like pointing to like the cutout where it had like the instructions. I'm like, this is what I want. I mean, read this and like you tell me. And so she like reads it and she was like, and I was like, if that's what it takes. So you get 10 calculators, and then they also like throw in 10 cases. So I'm like, I have this big bag full of calculators. I'm just like, I don't want them. Like, I just wanted the receipt. Like, I just need the receipt for my, but I'm not going to like return them. That would be kind of, so now I'm just trying to like, figure out like where I could like donate them. And I end up like the next day that I bought them, I was flying to Chiang Mai because I was trying to go to like some Manor of Death filming locations. So that was like in the north of Thailand. And it literally just, it all just worked out that the Grab driver that I had worked or like volunteered at the kind of like children's center that I was going to drop them off as a donation. So he was already volunteered there. He was like, oh yeah, I work there, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, I can drop you off. I know where I'm like, perfect. Please help. So we dropped them off or whatever. Anyway, so that's all the context. So then it's like the day of the show. But I didn't actually know what was going to be happening. So they had me on stage. And so, like, I'm on stage with Count on Turbo. And this is also the one where, like, the MC's, like, speaking English. And so he's, like, he gives me the phone. He gives me the mic. He's, like, yeah, so what do you like about, like, Count on Turbo? And they're, like, they're both looking at me, and I'm looking at them. We both just have this moment. And I'm just, like, I was not prepared to have a response for this. I don't know what I should say. Like, I don't know if I... Like, how do I answer this question that seems to be like a very obvious question to ask? But I was just like, I like their shows. I think that's the comfortable answer for everybody here. I like their shows. Love stage. I really enjoyed it. I like their roles in Ninny Man. I'm a big Count on Turbo fan. So yeah, that was a really funny standout moment of me just being like,
I'm on the spot. You know?
I was just walking to the grocery store, just found myself in Bangkok, you know, like you do. That was a fun standout moment. It's hard to pinpoint like a singular moment, but like, I have this like ongoing history with like Off Gun and Taenu now because I've seen them multiple times. Where it's like they just have such a like comfortable joking rapport, they just tease the fuck out of me. And so, it's like when we're at where I'm going to like their events, I'm like lining up, and I end up with like multiple tickets for like the multiple pictures because I'm trying to get like a good one-on-one picture with Gun, and the universe is not conspiring in our favor at this moment, but I believe that I will get a good one-on-one picture with Gun again at some point. But like as I was walking through, because it's like when you're lining up for like a group photo, like it's just all depending on like where you are in line, and sometimes there is some like jockeying around or people are like asking you like trade speeds or whatever like that. Usually I'm just like, sorry, I don't hear you. Like I'm just kind of like, for better or for worse, this is my seat. I'm gonna see like where it leads me, maybe. Because for the event that I was talking about earlier where I bought the ticket to see Ocon on the day of, the seat that I got ended up being the seat. It was like a 2V12 or 20 or something, some big ghastly number. And I just ended up being like next to Gun. And so like as they're like, they had like the pictures on the screen of like, if you're in this position, this is where you should stand. And the Japanese fan events, like they just run like clockwork where it's just like, that's like the meat factory. You're just like being pushed, push, 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 push. So I see like the seat numbers. And as the attendants are counting, she gets to me and she says like Juichi or something. I'm like, I've watched enough anime. I know that's 11. I know I've seen right next to Gun. I like beeline towards the seat. Hi Gun, it's me again. I know I saw you yesterday, blah, blah, blah. And we just have a little chat. And then when I was seeing them in Beluga Manila, in Beluga Taipei, like they're all teasing me. They all know I'm a Gun fan. Like other fans have called me a Gun fan. They're like, oh, it's the Gun fan. And when I was trying to, like, when I was in these group seatings and those other ones, I just was never next to Gunn. And so at some points, like, at one point I was just, like, cowering. I'm, like, looking at the seats. I just, like, roll my eyes. Fucking Tay is looking at me and sees me and just starts laughing. Just, like, and I'm sitting next to him. And I'm just, like, I'm not unhappy to sit next to fucking Tay Tuan. Like, he's my number two in GMTV. But, like, that's my number one. And so I was just, like, one seat over. And then I could be between the both of you. And just, like, so much happier. But I was trying to, like, make a heart hand with Gunn. And Tay sees that. He, like, motions Gunn to come forward. So, like, I'm making this heart hand with Gunn. And it's a terrible heart hand from, like, the actual picture. But then Tay sticks his finger through it. And I until I get the picture back later. But I'm just like, okay, you know, this is close enough. I get my little heart hand with Gunn. I'm just so happy. And then a couple weeks later, I'm like looking at the pictures, and I literally just, I just go, fucking Tay. So you just trolled my picture. So yeah, that would be like my second favorite one. And then a third one would be kind of the one I talked about earlier, just being able to like meet Elijah, a different Elijah story. I was at a different movie screening for him, and the fan club again, like, they got me to ask a question, and I like asked a question, but I was trolling him. And so, like, in this character or in this movie, his character's like a little bit villainous. And so I was like, hey, who's like more gaslight and manipulative, your character, this one, or Kai from Game Boys?
So definitely a character. In your opinion, who do you think is more manipulative and gaslighting, Lancelot or Cairo?
Because I talked with Elijah about Cairo a lot, actually, and so we both joked about Kai and like what a little bitch he is, but like in this moment where I'm like asking him and like this screening, he trolls me back and he was like, I don't know if you all know, but Alex is the biggest Cairo hater in the world. But he's also like saying this like in a theater full of like his fan clubs, his friends, his family. He came for me. He like tried to like have me take it out. Like I was in danger. Like,
if you don't know, Alex is like the biggest Cairo hater in the world.
Put the ops on you.
He did. He did. He like called me out by name. I was already standing up because I asked the question. And so like when I asked the question, I was like, "Who's more manipulative?" Lancelot or Cairo, like you can hear the audience be like, and then Elijah says it too. Elijah Conlaw's tried to put a hit out for me. That's what happened. That's my third.
Out of context.
Publicly put a hit out.
Yeah. Yes, Elijah Conlaw's publicly put a hit out for me. In a theater full of his supporters, and I was just barely able to get out of there alive. But yeah,
barely made it out alive.
Barely made it out alive. Yeah, those would be like I think some like really fun standout moments. As another, just like quick tiny one. I went to a long story, but I won a video call with Mark Ford for the My School President live ticket raffle, and so like already had the moment like on site, like of just taking the pictures and then them seeing me again and remembering me from like that moment. But that was just like, you know, an hour or so later. But then like a month later is when the video call happens. And so some of the artists I've been able to meet multiple times, it's like I'm never expecting them to remember me. I'm like, I'm not surprised that they do because I'm 6'1", I'm black, I'm male presenting. Like I understand, like I stand out in these crowds. But it's always like a surprise when like the actor really does remember me. So I remember, like, the first time, like, Count on Turbo, like, said my name. And I was like, you remember my name? I was like, damn, that is, like, oh, my babies. But anyway, so I was at, I was getting ready to hop into this this Zoom call. And I'm just sitting there in the lobby, just, like, whatever. And it's, like, you're just in the way, right? So you're, like, only seeing yourself. And then, like, you know, when you get moved to the main room, I'm like, oh, it's happening. And so then I see, like, Mark Ford, and then they see me, and then there's, like, big surprise or whatever, and I'm, like, trying to, like, connect my audio. I'm like, hi. But they made, like, such a big commotion that Gemini was nearby, and then he hears that, and then they, like, call him over. He comes over, he's like, oh, hey, bro, it's you again. Hey, bro, I love you, bro.
Oh, my God.
I can hear it in Gemini's voice.
Yeah. So like, all of them were just like so like excited to like re-see and re-meet me. I was just like, oh, like my rankings are in shambles because I just like always have to like keep meeting people up.
It's like, right now you're my favorite because we're talking, and then
absolutely,
yeah, next time, you know.
Oh, I have to say, me and Kayla have a very similar thing where it's like, because we spoke to them or because we had a moment with them, they are our favorites forever. Our Jar and Boston, like, feelings are eternal, literally just because we had a moment with them.
No,
but we
absolutely
totally get it.
Absolutely, yeah. Nepotism. It's just like the fastest
nepotism.
You can hear yourself. Yeah, nepotism. Nepotism works.
Yeah. Nepotism works. I was thinking for a wrap up, we could maybe do like your top five tips for international BL fans.
Yeah. So I would say, follow, support the actors and their fan clubs and their activities and things like that. That's going to be probably one of the best ways you can stay in the know about what their schedules are and if they are public, things like that. And I think it's easily something where it's like the more you give, the more you help out, even if you're not if you're on the shyer side of things, you're putting yourself out there. Like, there are so many ways to support where you don't have to necessarily put yourself or your face out. You can just quietly support, boost, things like that. It really does go a long way, and the fan clubs will remember you, things like that. So that's my number one tip is participate in a lot. Second, check whatever rules govern your entry and exit out of other countries. I almost had to miss a time that I had with Santa Earth because I didn't know I needed a visa to go to Vietnam. So check your visa status for whatever, as a second tip. Third tip would be, carry a backup battery. Whatever that looks like for you, if it's a tiny one, if it's a big power bank, have that, because these events go long and you will want to be on your phone scrolling away. And then you're going to be it is 11:30 and I am somewhere north of Bangkok and I need to get a taxi back to the city and I don't know how. Fourth, I definitely think kind of similar to the first one, if you are able to make a friend ahead of time, from online or go with someone, that could really go a long way, or just someone that can help you. Because fan club people that I've interacted with, they've just helped me just get my ticket or just get through the check, and then they go with their friends and then I go my way. So it's you can just get little spot help like that. And if you put it out ahead of time, you can just have it hopefully a lot smoother for you. And then fifth, I would say go in with welcoming, try to, put your best foot forward, try not to expect much from the actors themselves. Because I've seen fans kind of be no home training when it comes to interacting with some of them. And it's I never want to be the person that once the event's over, they're just did you get a load of that one? I don't want to I just think you try to not be that person in general. But yeah, just try to go in with bright personalities, try to show your appreciation, but don't expect things for hugs or touching or extended conversations, because sometimes it's just not in the card for that day or that event, and you just got to keep it pushing. And seeing the fans not know when the moment is over has just been uncomfortable for everybody. So yeah, I think just knowing how to be go just say hi and then hope have no other expectations.
Have some couth.
Yes. A little couth, a little decorum.
Awesome. I think that's a pretty good spot to wrap it up. Thank you, Alex, so much for sharing your story, sharing your tips. I know that we have gotten a lot out of them, so I'm sure that our audience will as well. And feel free to anyone, if you have other questions and stuff, I'm sure Alex will be monitoring this episode. We'll be monitoring it. So leave comments down below. We can try and we have a little bit of experience different from Alex's experience that they've had, but you know, we've also been to Thailand, so we can kind of share any tips and tricks that we've come up with. But yeah, and share your own tips and tricks as well. You know, if you guys have traveled abroad for BL, let us know what helped you, what mistakes you might have made, or what didn't go the way you thought. I feel like comments along with this video will be really helpful for anyone who might be planning their BL trip in the future, BL trips in the future, plural. Yeah, thank you for joining us, Alex. I hope you enjoyed chatting with us. I know it was a lot of fun for us, and it was great to finally be able to do this with you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I mean, again, just from like a longtime lurker and occasional shit talker, always so happy to support y'all and the great work that y'all do for international fans. Like, I mean, part of my desire to do the trips and meet people is kind of the way that like I interact with the fandom, and y'all are definitely a big part of that journey too. And so I was happy that you all got to go to Thailand. I think you all got there after I'd left, right? I'd been like, hey, I'm here. But
maybe next time.
You never know what the future holds. You never know what the future holds. Maybe
next time. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we all run into each other at Bangkok or something.
Yes. That would be awesome. Yeah, for sure.
But you can see how tall I am in person.
Yeah.
And you can see how tiny I am.
Put Alex and Heather next to each other.
Perfect.
To compare. 6'1", 5'2". But yeah. All right. Well,
perfect.
I think everyone, thank you for tuning into this episode. Keep an eye out on future, you know, BL fan meets. You might see Alex popping up in some pictures or videos. You can kind of have like a little Where's Waldo moment. Where's Alex in the next Beluga fan meet? Because they might be there.
It's happened. People, someone sent me a clip from an American BL channel, and they were like, "Is this you?" And I was in the background of. That is me. I am the Where's Waldo.
That's so funny. We might have to make you a love cast correspondent as well.
Yeah, make your position official.
Love cast correspondent.
Yes. Well, thank you for being our special correspondent today. It was a lot of fun to chat with you, and I think people really enjoy this episode. So yeah. Do you want to take us out for the goodbye, Alex? Just a little wave and goodbye.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to AlexCast, a LoveCast podcast subsidiary. I've been your special correspondent, kind of Johnny on the spot, Alex here. Thank you so much for watching, like, support, all that good stuff. And yeah, hopefully I come back.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.